I've heard it said that everyone's only got one message. Have you ever heard that? And that whatever people talk about, they always end up talking about the same thing. And this is mine. So a year ago, I did a similar talk about character, and I think I remember speaking about peace and presence. So please forgive me, it's my only talk. So if ever you ask me again, just know what you're going to get, right? here's the reason. There are loads of things in the Christian life that I am way less sure of than when I was 25. And actually, if you asked me to talk on a fair bit, I'd probably sit down and say, actually, no, because I'm a bit confused about what I think. But on this subject, I am sure I'm sure about anything. I guess for me, I kind of feel that if I really understand and I know God's grace, God's peace, and I know his presence, and I live that out, then really, for me, that's pretty well got the whole of the gospel sussed and wrapped up. And while I was preparing for this talk and thinking about it and praying about it and thinking about what it meant in my life, I had a bit of a revelation for me, which is that actually, obviously we're talking in the context of peace being a fruit, but it actually also is a gift. Peace is a gift. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives it. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So my revelation is that actually peace is a gift and presence is a promise. I'm with you always to the end of the age. And I think there's something really special about that, that peace is a gift and presence is a promise. But also, I find something really interesting in this first bit about this first verse. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Now read this next bit. I do not give it to you as the world gives. The peace Jesus gives is not as the world gives. And do you know what? I've always read that verse really negatively, as in the peace that we've got far surpasses peace in the world. But actually, if you read that positively, there's peace to be found in the world. And one of the things I wanted to say is that I absolutely believe in therapy, counselling, and I think there's a lot of peace to be found in the world, some of the world's systems, whether you're Christians or not Christians. And I think some people who are kind of cynical of that say it's counterfeit, and other people say, oh, actually, no, it's because we're made in the image of God, and therefore, even if we're not Christians, we, in the image of God, can give a certain amount. And that's what I think. And so we're advocates for Christians, non-Christians, anybody to benefit from those kinds of talking therapies to help you us for some peace. The massive distinctive of the Christian faith is presence. You can't presence the Holy Spirit presence by going to counselling. You can maybe find peace, you can maybe find solace in the world, but that presence is that massive distinction that we have in the Christian faith that no therapy or counselling can deliver. And it's the unique hope of our Christian faith. But as I was preparing this, I was getting concerned and saying, well, maybe there's people sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, Sandra, yeah, great, it's a promise, it's a gift, but I don't feel it. Or perhaps you're thinking, Sandra, my life is so much harder than yours. And I guess I do acknowledge that my life is blessed. I know it's blessed. I have walked through some valleys. I have lost my sister in her 40th, just after her 40th birthday. I have lost my father when he was Alice's years now. But I do know I have a blessed life, but I also really do believe that the peace and the presence is for us all, whatever we're going through. And as I was preparing, so I just stumbled across this and I thought I would share it. This is Corrie ten Boom. Many of you will have, again, in your early Christian days, read a book, Place. Extraordinary woman, extraordinary Christian woman who saved many Jews and then got caught during the war and then went to concentration camp. And I was just, as I was musing about, yes, but what if people say, I've got a harder life than you? I've experienced this process in the darkest, deepest, darkest hell that men can create, and I've tested the promises of the Bible, and believe me, you can count on them. So his presence is for us all, whatever we're going through. So anyway, we've been looking at inner peace, right? Up until now, this has been the peace that we find in through the Holy Spirit. I want to change gear, and I want to move on to from talking about that inner peace to talking about a different kind of peace. And I just want to talk about a helpful framework that I find helps me think about all sorts of things in life. And that's where we think about me, my world, and the world. So, for example, in leadership, you think about to be a good leader, and not so much the world, but it's manage myself, manage those around me, and manage a bigger organisation that I might be a part of. But actually, this is actually also quite a scriptural way of thinking about the world. Think about evangelism. Jesus said to us, go to Jerusalem, local, Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. So I just want us to think a little bit about me, my world, and the world. So we've been talking about me. That's the deep inner peace that I can find as a Christian. Let's think a little bit about my world. And I just want to ask a question and think about the subject, or think about the concept of what does it mean to be a person of peace? So the problem with lots of things in the Christian life when we talk about the inner stuff is it's really fine, but it has to go somewhere. We have a responsibility. You know, if we find grace, if we find peace, if we find all these things, we need an expression for those things. Otherwise, it becomes self-serving. And so I just wanted to share some scriptures that I found really helpful as I thought about this, as I structured my thinking about this. Because actually, being a person of peace is quite proactive. So it's one of those almost contradictions of the Christian faith again, where yes, peace is a gift, and what's a gift? What's a promise? It's not proactive, is it? It's something that just happens to me. But it's one of those juxtaposition, contradictions, whatever you want to call it, of the Christian faith, where it is that, but it is also proactive. So Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So there's something proactive about being a peacemaker. In Romans, it says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It's proactive. It's not, that's something I have to choose to consciously do. In Psalm 34, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So there's something proactive about that. And the other thing I was thinking about is that being a peacemaker is often about speaking up and not being quiet. Jesus, in Matthew 21, he overturned the tables of the money changers. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, overturned the money changers. He was angry with those profiteering from the temple. And interestingly, do you remember what the money changers were selling? Doves. They were selling doves. There's probably nothing in it, but I just suddenly thought that's really interesting. They were selling doves. Alistair and I have got a tiny example of where we're trying to be a peacemaker and it requires speaking out. On our road at the moment, Nuala as well. On our road at the moment, we have a road WhatsApp group that was set up in COVID, about 70 odd people. It's mostly, you know, does anybody know a plumber? Anybody know a roofer? It's all that kind of thing. And it's you know, mostly pretty benign and fine, whatever. But we have a neighbour who's not very well, as in psychologically not very well. And he started posting all these posts on the group. And what happened was that a lot of the group started being quite vitriolic back to him. I mean, his posts weren't great. They really, really weren't great. But our understanding is that he's not well. Now, when you're... I don't like social media, actually. But it would be so easy to not say anything. But we just felt we had to speak up because there was people on the group being horrible to him because they just couldn't put the themselves in his shoes that he wasn't well. And so they were just taking at face value all the comments that he was making. And so both John and Nu and Al didn't because he doesn't get involved in it. But and I we stepped in and we said we need to be compassionate. We need to be, you know, that this person is not well. I mean, it's just a tiny example, and as a result, the bit where Alice is getting involved is really thinking and praying through how we can step out and really help. So it's just an interesting thing. Being a peacemaker is not always about being quiet. It's quite the opposite. The other really interesting thing that comes in the Bible about being a person of peace is the concept of being a person of peace. And when you dig into it, it's not an expression that you actually literally find in the Bible. So if you went into Bible Gateway and did person of peace, it doesn't go man of peace, whatever it probably would have been, because anyway, won't go there. but the concept of a person of peace is there quite a lot in Scripture. And it's demonstrated really clearly in Luke 10, 5 and 6. Where Jesus instructs his disciples on how to enter a town and find a welcoming place. So Jesus says, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them, if it will return to you. So the passage refers to a person of peace as someone who promotes peace and welcomes the message of peace that the disciples bring. And the person of peace is open to receive the message of Jesus and plays a really key role in evangelism. And so it really has got me thinking of, how do we use our home? Is our home a home of peace? So, coming to a conclusion, I just want to pose a couple of questions on this subject of my world, where I'm being a peacemaker. Is there a situation that you're involved in that you could be more actively bringing peace? Is there a relationship where you could be more of a peacemaker? Is there a place for your home to be used more as a place of peace? Just you think about that just for a minute. I feel as though this last bit about being a person of peace really leads similar situation, and lots of examples in their missionary journeys where Paul and Silas and the others were found people of peace. I pray that that's how people see us. Okay, moving on. So, me, my world, the world. I'm not going to spend time on this. I'm not going to talk about it, but I think it's absolutely me. We live at such unbelievable times with so many wars, or so many, and I'm sure none of us have. Pray for peace. We need to continue to pray for peace and not overwhelmed by the size of it, but just keep praying for peace. A couple of weeks ago when you led us, Paul, in this praying for the world, and Emma's not here today. Is Emma on Zoom? No, not on Zoom. And Emma just came out and read out the words of that famous hymn, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace." Good for you, Emma, if you're listening to this. It was wonderful. And so I just think a talk without peace is is just missing something unless we acknowledge the state of the world and our part we have to play in it. So that's kind of me. I'm done.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sandra. So much to think on there. So much to... I love it when we're challenged, when we have some good questions. We're not just sitting here, but there's something for us to do.